let's talk a little bit about your feelings, experiences, thoughts post prayer vigil in Washington.
I can share with you that I'm far enough removed from the experience now to really reflect upon the fact it was a very powerful and at times very spiritual and worshipful experience, particularly building community over the course of 48 hours with many people that I did not know from across the country, who are all committed to comprehensive immigration reform, but are all committed to a much more inviting and hospitable approach to the issue of immigration and the ways in which we treat our neighbors and family members who are all around us. So I'm far enough removed from the actual event to reflect on it as not so much an event as it was an important Christian witness for the church and for the bishops that were part of it and provided leadership, as well as for lay persons and clergy persons from various places around the country and cross-denomination as well.
You talked about a woman who was, I believe, kneeling in the front row near where you were, a couple of people to your left, a young woman who was in tears most of the vigil because of the impact on her own personal family.
Yeah, there are lots of people that have powerful stories that are being played out while the Congress is debating and even pushing ahead pieces of legislation that really just focuses on security and incarceration. There are lots of people who are just suffering. In this case, a mother who had a daughter at the time detained, and also had several members who had been deported from her family, who had been deported or were being detained. Some who were participating in the hunger strike, which has since ended, but when you think about it, in her case, she and her husband had a business, and the business was disrupted, and he was arrested, and she also had a daughter who was arrested and detained. Often, these are people who have been in our communities, who have been contributing, who've been paying taxes, who have been shopping in the stores and contributing citizens, who've been worshiping in our churches, and then find themselves, because they don't have the proper documentation, or their documentation has expired, and they did not have the wherewithal that didn't have a lot of money to hire an immigration attorney. So these are her story was powerful because she was a person who was willing to make herself vulnerable, and with the possibility of being arrested and not necessarily even being released, and she still had family members, children at home that she was responsible for caring for. And I hear these stories both here in Iowa and as I travel around the country. But also there are heart-wrenching stories that even go beyond the United States as it relates to the impact of migration, the ways in which workers are often taken advantage of when they leave their home country, simply trying to survive.
What's the strength of the witness that took place that day? There were lay and clergy in the group. There were folks from a variety of places and a variety of denominations. Mm-hmm. What do you make of the broad base of that witness?
I think one thing, there was great consensus around the importance and the power of prayer. And folks here in Iowa have heard me say this over and over again, that little prayer, little power, much prayer, much power, no prayer, no power. We believe that we have been praying kind of privately about this, that maybe that President Obama needed to see us publicly praying for him to have both the courage to take an even more stronger stand, making adjustments about the record number of deportations, as well as for people to know that people of faith have family members and are concerned about our neighbors who sometimes on the margins of society and sometimes been made invisible to us because they've been incarcerated or deported. Too often people just have this blanket description of, well, people are breaking the law, therefore if you're illegal, therefore you earn the right to be in prison. And most of us, when we think about people breaking the law, we think about some type of crime. The crime, if there is a crime that we speak of, is the crime of the fact that we don't have a humane immigration system that allows for persons who have come here undocumented to have a pathway to citizenship. And we have tremendous economic stressors in countries like Mexico and Central America and other places around the world that really force people to take desperate measures to try to find a better way for their families. And the church's role is really to understand both the biblical witness and our historic stance as United Methodists to welcome the stranger. And I would like to say, in most cases, we don't have to welcome the stranger because these are not strangers to us.
Mm. You talked about the church's role. We've also talked since that day about how groups with varying perspectives have taken that moment in Washington and used it as a substantiating point for their own point of view that may not be focused so much on the prayerful witness or the church witness. How does that feel, and where's the balance in there in terms of the church continuing to be a voice regardless of how it might be used alternately?
Well, it was a learning experience for me as it relates to communicating your narrative. We were there primarily to pray and to bring attention to the record number of deportations and to ask our president of the United States to intervene and to stop, and if not stop, certainly make adjustments and slow down the number of deportations by expanding the deferred DACA, and so allow persons not necessarily to be so rapidly imprisoned, adding to mass incarceration. But we found that others might took the story to much more partisan levels in terms of bashing the Republicans or bashing the Democrats. Or telling their own story about that these were just religious people who just wanted to get arrested and bring attention to themselves. The idea is that people are being arrested every single day in our communities, and there's no attention being brought to them. And those persons often are detained under not very friendly circumstances. And then deported, often without what we would normally consider to be due process, a fair hearing in court. So, yes, we did intend to participate in civil disobedience, nonviolent civil disobedience, which we did. We were arrested. And for many people who commented to me that I was with and have since then have heard from, for them it was uplifting because they saw religious leaders, including bishops of the church, not only take our time but to invest our lives and our witness to stand with sisters and brothers, men, women, boys, and girls who are being impacted daily by these arrests and deportations.
One of the expressed priorities of the Iowa Annual Conference is to support and be world-transforming communities of faith.
Mm-hmm.
how can the prayerful witness become voiced as a world-transforming community? In other words, you began the day and continue after the day as a prayerful of change in mm-hmm. the world. Mm-hmm. How can we as Iowa communities of faith be transformational in that way?
I think we can remember the general rules of the church, which Bishop Jobe so aptly put in his book a few years ago, the three simple rules. If we can love God and love our neighbor and understand that and wake up each day with the intent of doing no harm and doing good and staying in love with God. Our action in Washington, D.C. was very faithful to that. Our intent was to do no harm, but to do good by making our witness public and to understand that our loving God, staying in love with God, means that we also have to love our neighbor and to love our neighbor in concrete, visible ways. So extending the hospitality of inclusion and support and prayer and welcome will result in transforming leaders, helping to transform the world. As we make disciples, we have to demonstrate that we are disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. So I see our living into our strategic priorities, particularly when I think about lay and clergy. That experience for me was very powerful because I was next to lay persons and clergy persons, shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm. That's a powerful experience.